Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the coming of the Lord as we pick up in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
In Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, I am convinced that one of those two witnesses in Jerusalem will indeed be John the Baptist, for he has the power to shut up heaven that it not rain during the time of his ministry, even as Elijah prayed and it rained not. And he has power to call down fire on his enemies to consume them, even as Elijah called down fire upon the captain with the 50s who came out from the king to take him in. So Elijah coming before the Lord. Now, because I believe that the coming of the Lord is so near, I do believe that somewhere in the earth today, Elijah probably is alive and living, because I believe that we are that near the coming of the Lord. Now, I don't think that anybody knows who he is or where he is. He may know himself, but I'm not looking for him. I'm looking for the Lord to come for me. I think that it's easy for us to get our eyes off the main attraction and start looking for little side events. Oh, who's the Antichrist? I wonder if this one could be the Antichrist, you know, and all. Let's look for the main event, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying, hey, this is tough to tell, you know. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, if you can take it, if you can handle it, if you will receive it, you know, this is he. This is Elijah, if you can receive it. Now, if you can't receive it, then take it however you want. But he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, in a sense, it was Elijah coming in the spirit and the power as a forerunner of the Messiah, but not the total fulfillment of that promise in Malachi. Now, what shall I liken this generation to? It is like children who are sitting in the marketplace, that are calling to their fellows. They're seeking entertainment. And they say, hey, we've piped to you and you didn't dance. So we mourned and you didn't cry. What do you want? What are you looking for? So John the Baptist came, neither eating nor drinking. And the Pharisee said, he has a devil. And he said, the Son of Man came, both eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man, a winebibber, a friend of the publicans and sinners. But he said, wisdom is justified of her children. What do the people want? They really didn't know what they want. John came as an ascetic, and they said, he's got a devil. Jesus came mixing with people, and they said, oh, he's a friend of the sinners. He's a friend of the publicans, a winebibber. And then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they did not repent. It is interesting that these cities that he upbraided around the Galilee have all of them been destroyed and today are nothing but ruins. In fact, it wasn't until just recently that they even discovered the site of Bethsaida. And for a long time thought that maybe the Bible was just speaking of some fictitious place, until more recently the archaeologists have uncovered Bethsaida. But Jesus, in these cities that he pronounces woes upon, it is interesting that they have totally disappeared. Whereas many of the other cities, such as Tiberias, which was the capital of the Galilee region where Herod lived, and Jesus didn't really go to Tiberias, it still remains today Tiberias. The city is still there. But Capernaum is gone, Bethsaida is gone, Chorazin is gone, so that these cities that he upbraided have disappeared off the map. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Capernaum was the headquarters of Jesus. That was his city. That's where he spent the majority of his ministry. His earthly ministry was spent in and around the city of Capernaum. The majority of the miracles that Christ wrought were wrought in Capernaum, and yet the people there did not repent. And he said, if the works had been done in the city of Sodom that were done here in Capernaum, they would have repented. And so the judgment that he pronounces upon Capernaum to be cast down to hell. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Why? Unto whom much is given, much is required. The greater understanding and light that a man receives, the greater will be the judgment of that individual. And so when God does judge, it will be according to the understanding or the knowledge that God has given, according to the grace that they've been exposed to, will be the degree of judgment by which they will be judged. At that time, Jesus answered and said, now he has just rebuked these cities for their failure to repent, for their failure to receive, and then he turns from the rebuking of these cities to the Father in a prayer in which he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto the babes. Father, I thank you. The great people of the earth, those great people of Capernaum and Bethsaida and all, you've hid the truth from them, but here are these babes, simple, ordinary people that you've chosen to reveal your truth and your love to. And Jesus said, even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. I thank you, Father. You've chosen just to use the common, ordinary people to reveal your love and truth to. I am too. How glorious that God has chosen to reveal himself to just the common. All things are delivered, Jesus said, unto me of my Father. And no man really knows the Son but the Father. And neither knows any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, Jesus, after this prayer, thank you, Father, you've chosen to reveal yourself to the babes, not to the wise and the prudent, but just to babes. Then he said, no one really knows the Father but the Son, and no one really knows the Son but the Father. And the only ones who really know the Father are those to whom the Son reveals him. There were a lot of people who thought they knew the Father, but they had wrong concepts of God. There are a lot of people today who think they know God, but their concepts of God are all messed up. Jesus said, no one really knows the Father unless I reveal the Father to them. And I look at the concepts that many people have of God, concepts that they have developed in their own minds. If I were God, this is how I would live. This is what I would do. This is how I would react. This is how I would respond. And so this is my God, and I've created my own God after my own likes and wishes and all. And this has been endemic of man through history, creating his own gods. But no man really knows the Father except the Son and the ones to whom the Son reveals. And then Jesus makes the broad invitation, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You see, Jesus is relating the restlessness of humanity with its godlessness. And he is saying, you'll never really know what it is to rest until you know God. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Come unto me, I will reveal the Father to you. Now, the invitation, of course, is from Jesus to you. The invitation is to come to him, and the promise is, if you come, he will give you rest. So that the first consciousness that a person has when they have come to Jesus Christ, the very first consciousness that they possess is a deep, beautiful peace inside. It just feels so good. I can't tell you why, but I feel good. You see, I'm not running from God anymore. I'm not fighting God anymore. In fact, I begin now to really understand the Father, and my restlessness was my godlessness. But now as I've come to Jesus Christ, suddenly there's a beautiful peace inside, a rest. And then Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. The yoke was the thing they put on the ox so he could pull a plow. And basically what the Lord is saying is, let me have the reins of your life and guide you to that work that I have for you. For the Lord has a purpose and a plan for each one of you. Paul the apostle, writing to the Philippians, said, I have not yet apprehended that for which I was apprehended by Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ has apprehended every one of you. And when he apprehended you for a specific purpose and plan that he has for your life. The Lord has a work for each of you to do for him. He's got a plan for each one of your lives. The Lord does not waste anything. He's very conservative. Uses everything. And when he apprehended you, he had in mind a purpose and a plan for you to fulfill for his glory and for the kingdom's sake. Paul, recognizing that, having devoted himself to serving the Lord, after some 30 years said, I've not yet apprehended that for which I was apprehended. Neither are things yet complete, but I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I'm still pushing on, seeking to apprehend that for which I was apprehended. Take my yoke upon you. I've got a plan for your life. Now you let me take over the reins and let me begin to guide you into my purposes and into my plans for you. And then the third thing Jesus said was, learn of me. Now you need to know the Father. You can't know the Father unless I reveal the Father to you. Learn of me, because as you learn of me, you'll know the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So learn of me, that you might know the truth of God, that he might reveal to you the truth of the nature of God. And as you learn the truth of God, you'll learn that he is a God of love, a God of compassion, a God of great, deep concern for you. A God who cares for you more than you can ever dream. A God who is interested in every minute detail of your life. Learn of me, Jesus said, for in learning of him, you will learn of the Father, and you'll have a true revelation of the Father. And then Jesus adds, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's in sharp contrast to those who go around telling me about the heavy burden they've been under lately. Oh, man, I've been under such a heavy burden. I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle it. Man, the burden is so heavy on my... Wait a minute. I believe that it's possible for us to take on burdens that are not from God. Burdens that we take upon ourselves. It's possible for us to get ourselves into some real messes. I feel that I have taken on many burdens that God didn't lay on me. And I sometimes complain about the burdens. Right now, I'm sort of complaining at home about the burden of going to Norway. And I don't know if God laid it on me or not. I accepted the invitation, and now I sort of wish I hadn't. I'm just tired. I'd like to stay home. But nonetheless, I have to go. But I can't say, oh, the Lord's laid this heavy burden on me. I've got to go to Norway. If the Lord indeed has sent me, then he's going to give me the strength and the energy, and I'm going to do great. If I've taken a burden on that he hasn't, then pray for me. I'm in trouble. For the Lord said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Hey, wait a minute. What was his yoke? Every man bears a burden. A man's burden is that master passion by which his life is governed. Jesus said, my burden is light. What was his burden? What was behind the life of Jesus? What was the main thrust behind his life? He revealed it in his first recorded words when he was just 12 years old. When he said to his mother Mary, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Now, when a person says, I must, you better listen because you're getting close to the heart of the issues. So many times a person said, well, I really ought to do that. I know I should. Forget it. You're not getting close yet. When a person says, I must, then listen. Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? And that was the burden of his life, his Father's business. I do always those things that please the Father. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And he prayed, Father, I have finished the work you have given me to do. And what does he say about his burden? He said, my burden is light. It is light to do the will of Father, to please the Father, not a heavy burden. Who is he calling? Those who are heavy laden, those who are carrying a heavy burden. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What are the heavy burdens of man? What is the burden of life that you are trying to carry? What is the master passion behind your whole life? You say, well, I am being honest and looking at myself. The master passion of my life is money. I love good things. I love nice things. I want to live comfortably. And so the master passion of my life is just to possess nice things and to live a comfortable life. Someone else say, well, the master passion of my life is fame. I just want people to admire me and to look up to me, and I want to be famous. Someone else may say, well, really, the real thrust behind my life is pleasure. Man, I just like excitement and pleasure, and the only reason why I work is to get enough money to go out and have a good time. And I hate the job. I hate working. But I have to work in order to get the money, but I can't wait for the weekends, man, where we can just really have a great time, and my whole life is geared around the weekends and the fun that I can have. And I would have to say that's the burden of my life. Look a little deeper, because none of these are the burdens that any of you are carrying. Who do you want the money for? Who are you seeking fame for? For whose pleasure are you looking? And when you get behind these things, you have to say, well, I'm seeking money for myself. I want to be wealthy. I'm seeking fame for myself. I'm seeking pleasure for myself. And now you've come to the truth. The burden that Jesus said is heavy, one that will weigh you down, is living for yourself. When a person is seeking to live for himself, that is a heavy burden that one day will become intolerable, and you will just come to the cynicism and say, life isn't worth going on. And you become totally cynical because you'll never be able to satisfy yourself. The yoke is too hard. The burden is too heavy. But Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Living for God has to be the most satisfying life in the world. Nothing is more satisfying than to commit your life totally to God and to live for his glory. As Jesus said back in chapter 10, he who finds his life shall lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Because my yoke is living to satisfy and to please God. And you'll find that it is much easier to please God than it is to please yourself. You'll never be able to please yourself as you just live for yourself, because you're not answering to the basic purpose of your creation, When God designed you and created you, God purposed that you should be for His pleasure and for His glory. As the elders are ascribing praise unto God and the worthiness of God to receive the praise of the cherubim, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, for Thou hast created all things, and for Your good pleasure they are and were created. God did not create you to live for your own pleasure. And if you live for your own pleasure, your life is going to be empty, frustrating, and dissatisfying. But if you will live for God's pleasure, if you'll take up the light burden, then your life will be fulfilling, rich, full. In fact, even more, as David said, my cup runneth over, and your life will be like an overflowing cup.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 11 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord put His hand upon your life, fill you with His Spirit, and guide you with His counsels. May you be strengthened in your walk with Him. May you begin to experience greater victories over those areas of the flesh that have dominated. And may you begin to experience more and more the power of God's Spirit within your life, giving victory. May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord keep you in His love. And may you just grow in your knowledge of Him and in your fellowship. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Undoubtedly, one of the most glaring signs that our society is in trouble is the breakdown of the family unit. Marriages just aren't making it today, and kids are suffering as they watch the breakup of their homes. Those marriages still holding together are often plagued by conflict and turmoil, making the home a battleground instead of a refuge. That's why The Word for Today would like to present Pastor Chuck Smith's Marriage and Family MP3, where Pastor Chuck discusses basic biblical principles to keep a family's love alive. Each member of the family has a different set of needs and responsibilities. And when you know and apply God's principles, everyone in the family can experience real peace, real joy, and an agape love. To order your copy of the Marriage and Family MP3 by Chuck Smith, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.